Coming up on this episode of DL Weekly, an old new parade is returning, a date could be coming soon for Splash Mountain closing, Bob Iger returned to Disneyland,
a new Southern California ticket deal, Shop Disney getting the Disney 100 Platinum Collection, we talk scavenger hunts with Where in the Park, and more. DL Weekly starts now.
Ah, buenos dias, señorita. My siestas are getting shorter and shorter. Oh, look at all the people listening. Welcome to DL Weekly's Enchanted Podcast. Hey, Tag and Teresa, mi amigos. Pay attention, it's show time.
Hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of December 7th, 2022. I'm Teresa Urban.
And I'm Tag Bushman. We'd like to send a shout out and a thank you to all the current weekly tiers, including Amber A, Stacey S, Kaylee J, and Charity M for supporting the show. Without your support, DL Weekly would not be possible. Your support ensures the podcast will continue and that we can make it out to the parks more often to bring you the latest news and information directly from the parks, like we'll be doing in just a couple weeks.
Woohoo!
If you'd like to become an official weekly tier yourself, head on over to dlweekly.net/support to sign up.
Well, our friends over at All Enchanting Ears have been busy. They make fun and unique ears, plus ear holders, straw toppers, lithophanes, and so much more. They are offering a special discount code available to weekly tiers. Use code DLWEEKLY10 for 10% off your entire purchase. Make sure you check them out because Lori just put up some fun and festive new ear designs. There's a gingerbread Mickey and a gingerbread Minnie 3D printed ear set that is super cute. That, yeah, just so much fun. Head on over to allenchantingears.com to check it all out.
Now let's get to the news.
Well, Magic Happens was only around a little more than 2 weeks before the pandemic shut everything down, and it finally has a return date. On February 24th, the parade returns to the parade route at Disneyland. Magic Happens is coming back as part of the 100 Years of Wonder celebration, which is kicking off at none other than Disneyland. No specific times have been announced yet, but it's expected to be a daytime parade.
Well, I have not seen this parade in person, and a very small amount of people ultimately have actually seen this parade because of the fact that it was only around for a little bit of time before the pandemic came and closed everything down. So I'm very excited that this is coming back for the 100 Years of Wonder celebration. Yes. You know, if you're a supporter, we also are going to have a bonus episode coming out soon that talks about some rumors. There's a rumor about something else coming back that might be exciting. But for this, that is confirmed, February 24th. Almost, what, two years after it went away? 2020, 2023, so like almost 3 years. It'll be exciting because we haven't had other than a Main Street Electrical Parade, we have not had a regularly running parade since Disneyland has reopened, and now we will.
I'm just really excited because, like Tag said, this looks like such a fun parade, something that we did not get to experience ourselves in person. But from the videos that we saw that others had shared, it just looked so fun, so beautiful, very energetic. Like, I feel like this is going to be one that we're going to be dancing along on the parade route with. The one thing, though, we were talking about before recording the episode was we're excited that it's coming back. However, I kind of wish that this was going to be an evening time parade because the photos and videos that we saw when it first came out in early 2020, they had like an evening time parade that was when it was dark, and you could see the floats just look beautiful because they light up. They have different like screens that have different, not projections, but different like images on it. So like we're looking at the Moana float and there's like screens that show like water and all that stuff. Then the princesses, I'm thinking about Princess Tiana, the magic swirl that kind of goes around her and Prince Naveen also lit up. So these look like they're super beautiful at night too. So I kind of wish that it was going to be, I don't think like full on nighttime parade, like the Main Street Electrical Parade, but like an early evening parade. So they you kind of get the best of both worlds. It would still be light enough that you could see the details of these amazing floats, but also just dark enough that they really would glow.
Yeah, I agree with you. There are some aspects of this that are great for an evening. And I agreed with you. And even when it opened this, like this Moana one, it's really difficult to see the projections in a bright, you know, sunlight day. Mm-hmm. So something like a twilight parade or even an evening parade would be great. But we'll have to wait and see, you know, what the schedule comes out to be. Because like I said, right now, it seems like they're planning this to be mainly in the daytime, but they haven't released any times out there for everybody yet. So we'll have to wait and see.
I can't wait.
Well, out in Walt Disney World, a date has come out on when Splash Mountain will go down to transform into Tiana's Bayou Adventure. January 23rd, 2023 is the closing date at the Magic Kingdom. Along with that announcement, new concept art was released showing more critters in the bayou playing some music as guests float by. Once again, there is no date for Disneyland as of yet.
Not yet.
It is just for the Magic Kingdom out in Disney World.
I would assume that we would be somewhere close around that time, just because it would make, you know, it makes sense to have it shut down in the wintertime. It's a definite summertime favorite, so it wouldn't be as missed if they started the refurb earlier in the year versus if they closed it right before the summertime rush. That just wouldn't make sense at all. The thing I'm most excited about, though, was this concept art. So you've got Tiana, of course, in showing her new outfit that they specially designed just for her for this attraction. Mm-hmm. But it just, the scenes just look beautiful and breathtaking. There's fireflies sprinkled all around. We've got lily pads with the, like, the flowers in the water. Of course, there's some frogs. But look at this fun critter band. I'm so excited that this, it feels like this attraction's still going to be filled with lovable animatronics. I just love, like, come on, look at the little, like, otter playing his little violin. You've got a rabbit that, instead of playing like a washboard's playing
a license plate.
And then you've got an opossum that's playing, it's almost like a gourd that they turned into like a guitar of some sort, but just super, super fun, or a bass. Yeah. And Lewis is there with his trumpet as well. But they said that this scene's going to be featuring Zydeco music, which is so, so fun, so upbeat. If you haven't listened to Zydeco, it's one of my favorites. Just so much fun. So I just am very excited for this. Very, very excited.
If you look at this concept art, we have a link to the show notes. Look at the bunny. Does this bunny look like another animatronic that is in Disneyland right now?
Huh?
Okay.
I didn't catch this. So tell me your theory.
You are coming to the end of the attraction,
okay,
and Brer Rabbit is leaning back and singing that he's happy to be home.
Oh.
He looks like that. So I'm thinking they're going to reskin that animatronic to kind of do something a little different.
Oh.
But I'm guessing they're going to use, because he's got that same kind of thing with his feet up and stuff like that. Right. So I saw this and I said, that looks like that. And so I'm thinking that some of these other characters may be reworking some of the other animatronics with, like, some type of reskin
look
or something
that.
Like that.
Good so, catch. I did not think or see that myself. That's a really good catch.
4-hour stream. Let me see if I could find this quick.
Interesting.
Because I love that animatronic towards the end, and that's why
it sticks out to me.
Because I just think he's kind of adorable. That was my first thought when I saw this concept art. Is I was like, oh, they're doing like they did with Splash Mountain to begin with, which is they're repurposing what they have. And I think that's a great idea, because why go through all this effort and to build something new when you've got some existing stuff that you probably could refurbish into something usable?
Look at that.
In our chat, somebody said that their guess for when the Disneyland version will close will be after Toontown opens. And
I think that's a really smart guess. Yes. Well, the newly returned CEO of the Walt Disney Company was at Disneyland this week. Bob Iger was seen in the parks with Josh tomorrow for the Candlelight Processional. This is the first time that Iger has been seen in the parks publicly since he returned to the company a few weeks ago. Bob being with Josh tomorrow has also, of course, stoked rumors that he may be in a good position to take over as CEO when Iger completes his 2-year return.
Yeah, everybody looks so joyous. There was some videos out there of
he just looks happy.
Him walking by, and people were cheering and
yes.
clapping, and they seemed so happy. And, you know, he even looks happy, and he's hanging out and having a good time. It's good to see him in the park and not mm-hmm. shying away from people. I know that there were times where Bob Chapek was in the park and he kind of was separated from everybody else.
Yeah, and that seemed to be
much.
Kind of more of his way of being CEO was he wasn't kind of like down in the streets with all of the guests and with all the people. If he was in the parks, you may not have necessarily known he was there because he was kind of away from the guests, which, you know, you got to think of when you're CEO of a company like Disney, you kind of have to think of what message that sends. Maybe that was an innocent thing, but it just doesn't leave the guests feeling like you really care about right. the parks if you're kind of shying away from stuff like that. So, you know, even if they were just there enjoying the parks and they weren't talking shop, which I'm sure they were, I just think that this was a really good warm and fuzzy feel-good moment, not only for us as the guests that see these things, but, you know, I'm sure it makes the cast members feel really great, too. It makes them feel like, you know, they're a part of something, that he cares about them and what's right. going on and all that stuff. So I have high hopes. I have good hopes. I jokingly wish that he had to make a park reservation to get himself in the park so he could get a little bit more familiar with that system and the roller coaster ride that can be sometimes. I'm sure he didn't. But I do think, you know, that's we talked about this week before. Something that they need to look at and something that these executives need to experience themselves to really get a good idea.
Maybe that should be a requirement from now on. Anybody, whether you work for the company or not, that wants to go visit the park needs to use the tools that everybody has to use. And so even though a Plaid might be comped for these folks, they should still have to reserve a Plaid like everybody else does. And they should have to make a park reservation like everybody else does. And they should have to use Genie Plus and Mobile Order mm-hmm. and stuff if that's what they want to use. And I think that they would realize, these services are not quite as good as we hoped they would be. But you know what? There's an opportunity to make it better.
Yep.
Now, we complain about these things. People complain about these things. But I'll say, I don't think that the idea of any of this is bad. I just think the execution sometimes is a little off.
Yeah.
So I think if they could fix the execution, it would be really great. Weekly tiers in Southern California who are not Magic Key holders or are looking to bring a guest to Disneyland between January 9th and May 25th, there is a new ticket offer for you. The tickets are good for weekday visits, so that's Monday through Friday, and include 3 days at the Disneyland Resort, limited to one park per day. The price for this ticket is $219, which breaks down to about $73 a day, and is limited to 5 tickets per day per resident. So you could, I don't know who would buy that many of them, but it's a possibility. A lot of new and returning events are happening during this time, including Lunar New Year, Disney's 100 Years of Wonder Celebration, Nighttime Spectacular's Wondrous Journeys at Disneyland, the new fireworks show, and World of Color 1 at Disney California Adventure, which is, of course, the new World of Color show. Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway opens, Magic Happens is coming back, the Food and Wine Festival, and the reopening of Mickey's Toontown. I can't believe they're doing a ticket deal with all of this.
I was just gonna say, what like the best time to be getting the ticket deals returning, because like you just mentioned, there is so many things going on. It'll be interesting to see what this does, speaking of reservations and all that fun stuff, because you've got all of us key holders that of course want to be there for the reopening of Toontown, for Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, for the kickoff of the Disney 100 celebration, the return of Magic Happens, all the stuff, you know, the parades,
everything,
all that, fireworks, all that. So it'll be interesting to see. I'm just curious to see the reservation calendar. I feel bad for all of those. I would be with you too if I lived close enough to be able to go. But I feel bad for everyone that's going to be trying to make reservations during this time, because I think this is going to get a little difficult. This is going to be one of the few times that we're going to see reservations fill, of course, for Magic Key holders, but also for those regular day ticket people too, because you've got fans that, yes, maybe they're not Magic Key holders, but going to these events is very important to them. So they're going to buy tickets for it. So it'll be really interesting to see how that shakes up. But still very excited, because like you said, they could have just passed up on offering this ticket deal, especially because there's plenty of stuff pulling people to come to the resort during this time.
What do you think about the fact? So they say, this seems counterintuitive to me, because they say that the Disney parks, so Disneyland and Disney World, are both really in a lot of demand, and they have reservations because they just, like, everything's so full because we're just so dang busy and we have so much demand. If that's the case, why are they doing ticket deals?
That I would say, like, in this case here, this to me is more of a perk for the fans, a perk for the guests. It's not what it typically is, which is to try and get people in the doors. Because usually you offer discounts to try and put butts in seats or to try and fill your empty.
So you don't think that's what this is?
I don't think it is. There's no reason to have to do that, because they have so many, like you just listed, all of those things that should be drawing people in, that people are going to be excited about. So this to me feels more like it's a perk, more so than it's an actual need from a fill the park
standpoint. So trying to make it more affordable for folks rather than we need more butts in seats kind of a situation.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. That's maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like that could do it. That's, and then, you know, that could be it too, is there could be, you know,
blockout dates
for some of the magic key levels at that point as well. But I still think overall, they're not going to have issues with selling tickets during these times.
Sure.
Shoppers excited about the Platinum Celebration Collection for the Disney 100. Get ready to start your engines. Start getting your finger exercises in so that you're clicking is going to be at its fast top speed. The collection is launching on Shop Disney December 12th at 7 a.m. Pacific time. More collections will launch throughout 2023. The collection includes a platinum ear hat for the low, low price of $195, a Minnie Mouse platinum ear headband, also a low price at $175, and some more reasonably priced items like spirit jerseys, Loungefly backpacks, ear hats, and more. When did you ever think you would be saying something like reasonably priced items such as spirit jerseys and Loungefly?
Right.
But in the grand scheme of this collection, they are more of the mid-tier price.
Okay, so I will say the two very high-end ears, I kind of think the design is interesting. Like, I would get one because I do kind of like the drippy look and the shininess, but I feel like it would have to be real metal to be worth that price, and I just don't think they are. With the other stuff, there's nothing in here. I'm looking forward to the next set because they said that there's other merchandise that we'll be dropping for the Disney 100. I'm hoping that there's some designs that I just enjoy more than these. I don't know. This pillow's not too bad, but I'm not going to pay $45 for it.
I might be in the minority here, but I am not understanding the Platinum Celebration ear headband that has the kind of like the drippy look to it. We did see these at D23. They did actually have these for sale and they had them on display. And I just don't get it. And I really don't understand it for $175. They don't seem worth it to me. That's just me. Other people will for sure buy these.
I've never seen one of these. I probably just don't look at the merch enough. A Minnie Mouse Loungefly backpack for your Nuimo.
Oh, yeah. I will say the other set of ears that they have, the ears themselves, the kind of little sparkly things, that kind of reminds me of like Epcot.
Oh, yeah.
And Spaceship Earth. But these caught my eye when we were at D23. And these were the pair that I would be purchasing. It's got silver ears with a purple bow and the Disney 100 logo in the middle. And these are much more reasonably priced, $39.99. So this was a first for me. Somehow the thing that I am drawn to the most was not the most expensive item. So I'm going to consider that a win. Thank you, Disney, for saving me some money.
Don't you think these are interesting looking, though, at least?
They remind me of like melting ice cream.
See, I don't think I would like wear this around the park, but it'd be kind of cool to have like sit on my shelf like for the set. Now,
I just it's not for me. The other thing I was pretty excited about, too, was they have, you know, the spirit jerseys that we're seeing are Disneyland spirit jerseys, but then they also have Disney 100 sweatshirts that also say Disneyland on them too. I'm sure there will also be ones that say Walt Disney World, but this small little thing of the preview of merchandise having Disneyland on it more so than Walt Disney. I know, but it just makes me excited because we usually don't see, usually Disneyland's not front and center. So I think it's really, really fun.
There are aspects of this. First of all, I love purple, and they've gotten some purple stuff, and the silver and purple do look pretty good together. I don't know about the rest of the design necessarily for it, but I don't know. We'll see. You know, they're going to come out with more stuff. I'm sure like everything, when they have these type of things, they're going to have a jillion different versions of everything, which I think is great, but I do enjoy it. Well, fans of the Anaheim Ducks, the local hockey team, will want to be at Disney California Adventure in early January. Anaheim Ducks Day is returning for 2023 on January 12th. More details will be released in the coming weeks, but in previous years, special snacks, merchandise, meet and greets, and decorations have been on hand. If you're interested, get tickets and, of course, park reservations soon.
I think, again, this is just a fun thing, especially for locals. You know, I'll be honest, hockey's not my thing. I don't really know any. The only reason I know that the Anaheim Ducks are a thing is because they do these days with Disneyland. But I know we have friends that are fans and go to the Ducks game. So I think this is such a fun kind of crossover. And why not? What better place to celebrate than Disneyland and DCA?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's cool. It looks like they've got some different stuff that they might have there. Yeah, I'm not a huge hockey person, but it's a good thing for the fans. And what a great way to help celebrate a local team than having it at Disneyland.
Well, this past weekend was the Candlelight Processional at Disneyland. Each year, there is a live orchestra, a live chorus singing Christmas carols, trumpeteers ringing in the season, and a celebrity narrator to tell the story of Christmas. This year, award-winning actress Viola Davis was the narrator.
So our plan right now is either next week or the week after, we're going to have a... There was a Weekly Tier who actually went to this, and we're going to have her on as part of our discussion topic to talk about her experience at the Candlelight Processional, because I don't know if I've talked to someone who's done this before or really, and if we did, I don't think I asked a ton
in
of questions.
Yep.
So it'll be really interesting. I know a lot of people, it seemed like this year, looking at social media, that more people than usual seem to be able to see it this year, or at least I'm following the people that got to see it. Like Teresa said, I think on a previous either stream or episode, I think it was last episode, we were outside when it was happening. We didn't have reservations or whatever for that day, but we were outside last year on one of the nights that this happened. So bucket list item for sure. And yeah, otherwise, I think it was business as usual. A talented group of women became the first group of rope access technicians since the program began 17 years ago. The rope access program is a group of riggers that are trained to utilize mountaineering rope techniques to access buildings and structures that are not accessible by conventional methods. Guests see their work throughout It's a Small World holiday and Haunted Mansion holiday, among others.
So first of all, this is super cool because this is the first time since the program was created 17 years ago that a group of five female technicians have become the first all-women rope access training group at Disneyland. So that in and of itself, amazing. I was also just shocked. I don't always think too much about how the magic happens and how decorations get hung. I just assume it's, I don't know, like boom trucks and ladders and stuff like that. I did not. This is incredible that they basically scale up these buildings as though they're like it's a mountain and hang and put decorations up that way. Which makes sense because think of the Small World facade.
Yep.
You've got the water right in front. You're not getting a truck over there. You're not getting, you can't get that kind of stuff over there to be
same thing with some of the Haunted Mansion holiday stuff.
I was naive to this, I guess, but very, very cool.
Not to mention, we're talking about the exteriors. Think about interiors. Inside of It's a Small World. There's so many things hanging from the ceiling and hanging from some things. So being able to have some different riggers and stuff to be able to do that is amazing. I didn't think about this either. So
incredible.
I think it's super cool that it's that they were doing that. So.
Yes, very cool. Extra level of magic.
Extra level of magic.
Your attention, please. DL Weekly Trivia is now leaving for a Grand Circle tour of the Magic Kingdom. With stops at New Orleans Square, Mickey's Toontown, and Tomorrowland. All Weekly Tiers board!
Hello and welcome back to Trivia Land. As I hope you can feel, we're still feeling festive around the holiday seasons around here. So I got four more questions related to holidays in the park. Two, thanks to the kind listeners for inspiring this continuation.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Ready as we'll ever be.
Yes.
Great. First question from listener Donna S. In what year was the debut of the Christmas Star on top of the Matterhorn at Disneyland? And part two of the question, who put it in place or who was directing the crane?
I don't know who was directing the crane.
I'm going to say it was Mickey.
I'm going to say it was 1961. 1961,
huh? I'm going to be different and say
1960.
Okay, but who did it? Mickey? And Mickey. Yep. 1960 and it's Mickey.
I'm going to go crazy and say it was Walt, but it was probably Mickey.
Ooh, good guesses. Good guesses. Question number two from Stacia S. What is Oogie Boogie's spinning wheel called at the end of the Haunted Mansion holiday attraction?
What's the spinning wheel called?
Yeah, he has a big title in the middle of the wheel as he is spinning.
Ooh.
The Wheel of... No, that wouldn't be... I was going to say the Wheel of Pain, but I feel like that wouldn't be...
No,
not something festive. And festive.
Is it... Can you give us a hint? Is it Wheel of or not Wheel
it
of?
It is not Wheel
okay.
of.
Okay.
Oh, it's like...
Ooh! I'm going to say it's Trick or Treat.
See, that's what I was thinking, too. But I thought it was like the Wheel of Tricks or Treats, but not Wheel of. So, okay, tricks and treats, trick or treats, tricks and treats.
You're going to
jump on the bandwagon.
Well, I'm saying it differently. She said trick or treat. I'm saying tricks and treats.
Oh, okay.
He's making them plural.
Very big
no,
difference.
No, tricks
yes.
and treats.
Oh, tricks and, tricks not and or. Treats.
Yeah, not or.
Okay.
All right, our third question. I'm going to give you an activity that the characters are performing in the A Christmas Fantasy Parade, and you need to tell me who's doing it. So we'll go one at a time. There's five activities.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So the first one, who is sorting letters to Santa?
Are you talking like the Fab Five characters or just any character in the parade?
I mean, they are on the float performing this action.
So it could be a Fab Five character or it could be just another character.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Sorting letters. It's a special season for Christmas.
Why
time
is singing
year.
The song helping you?
Just triggering it.
I'm going to. Okay.
This is just one of five.
Donald.
So.
I'm going to say Donald.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I'll say Donald too.
Okay.
All right. Second activity. Who is bidding you warm wishes from a faraway kingdom? Bidding you warm wishes is in quotes from
oh,
the Disneyland website.
Oh, Anna or Elsa.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're part of the thing yep. now.
The third one. Who is making gingerbread treats?
Oh, the bakers. Oh, no, no. It's Clarabelle.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Fourth one. Who is attending a Christmas ball?
A Christmas ball?
Yes.
I've only seen this.
Is that Mickey
last
and Minnie?
Year's no. No. We need princesses.
Cinderella.
Anastasia.
Cinderella, probably.
Yeah, Cinderella.
Cool. And then our last one. Who is making and wrapping toys?
I remember this float. It is the coolest float because it's got the
like a wheel of wrapping paper that's coming out.
Oh, it's Pixar characters, I think.
Is it?
Is it like the Toy Story gang? Is it
Woody and Buzz? I feel like Mrs. Claus is in here somewhere, and I just don't. But you're not probably asking about her.
No, we are not going to ask what Santa Claus and the Mrs. are doing. All right, so
I'm not very hopeful.
I heard Toy Story or Pixar characters.
Yeah,
yeah.
So Woody and Buzz is what I said for.
All right,
maybe it's like the Green Army Men.
I hope you're ready for this last one.
Oh boy!
All right, what songs make up "Believe in Holiday Magic" other than the unique song? Can you remember? Here's your hint. There are 13 holiday classics.
Well, there's the Nutcracker.
I don't know this.
What is that? What is the one that goes dun 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 dun? Is that Carol of the Bells?
No.
That. What's that?
That's Carol of the Bells.
Carol of the Bells is in there. Because this is Remember or Believe in Holiday Magic?
Believe in Holiday Magic.
Oh, because they have like the grandma that loves everything.
Yeah, there's like a run of like 7 minutes.
There's yeah. What's
All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth.
That's in there?
This is good teamwork here.
Who needs the accent game? I can just have Tag do name that soon.
Because I'm going through the parade or going through the thing and they've got all these things that go together. What's the, there's like that dark song. Is that the Nutcracker maybe where it goes like, I think Oh Holy Night is probably in there as part of the thing. But they've got like.
I've seen this once, twice maybe.
James, you're lucky that we're not riding in the same car home because I'm totally going to play this on the way home.
Oh, I fully expect that.
I don't.
How many do we have?
Not 13. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh, four? I've only given you four?
I have five on my list from Tag.
What do you
have? What was the other one?
What do you have?
I have A Little Dreidel, All I Want for Christmas, My Two Front Teeth, Oh Holy Night, Carol of Bells, and the Nutcracker song.
Oh, Nutcracker.
Yeah, Nutcracker. Silent Night? Silent Night has to be in there.
Yeah, I have no.
Silent Night. Do I have any right? I have to have at least one right.
I can't tell you that yet.
Let's see.
Jingle Bells?
Oh, I'm sure Jingle Bells is in there.
Mele Kalikimaka. That's my favorite.
I don't think that's in the I don't think that's in the thing, though.
I'm going to say it is.
I'm going to say that, what did I just say a minute ago, right before you were saying Melikalikimaka? White Christmas.
White Christmas. I don't...
I'm just naming Christmas tunes now.
I'm giving you 10 more seconds to finish your list.
Santa Claus is coming to town? This is terrible. We're just guessing, so I'm going to stop. We're just naming random holiday tunes at this point.
All right, for those of you listening at home, do you have the playlist memorized better than these two do? Can you hear the songs when Tag sings them? Oh, how about the other questions? How are you feeling? We'll find our answers after our discussion topic this week.
Well, this week we have some very special guests with us. We have Amanda and Kevin. They're from whereinthepark.com. These are folks that we met way back in, what was it, the spring at the Disneyana convention. And they have this awesome booth set up with their stuff. And we were just like, come off to the flame. I just like was drawn in and I was so excited about this product. So anyway, so welcome Amanda and Kevin to DL Weekly.
Hi.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, we're super excited. So before we get into, you know, what Where in the Park is and why I found it so fascinating and was very excited about it, let's get to know you both a little bit better. So can you tell us your Disney story? So something that got you interested in either Disney or Disneyland. You can be as detailed or as brief as you would like to be.
I mean, I think we've both been lifelong Disney fans. I mean, for me, especially theme parks. Love theme parks. But our story goes even tighter than that, because I'll let Amanda tell.
So my love of Disney started day one. When I was born, my mom brought me home in an outfit with Minnie Mouse. Oh. And I had a bunch of Disney stuff. And I was born in January. So in my first Christmas, I had a whole tree of Disney ornaments and everything. So Disney's been in my blood for a long time.
Wow. Yeah.
But our story. So we didn't know each other.
2010 reunion, 2011.
Right.
We bust through.
And so my mom and I had a tradition of going to the theme parks on New Year's Eve to ring in the new year.
Brave.
Very fun.
Yeah. So we've done that for a few years. And this particular year was the first year that the World of Color show was going to have their big New Year's celebration. So we're like, we got to go. So my mom and I go, and we get our World of Color fast pass and all of that. We're all excited. And we are waiting before the event, you know, that you like wait in the waiting area. And my mom and I are playing Words with Friends with each other, because that's what you did at the time. And behind us is Kevin and his friend.
Yeah, I was talked into going to Disneyland for New Year's Eve, which I had done a few times. But that time I was like, the only way I'm willing to go to Disneyland is if we go to DCA for the new World of Color. Mm-hmm. Only reason why I'll go there, if we're going to be at the castle, I don't want to be there. Because I've done the castle, it's a nightmare. So we were like, sure, let's go to DCA, California Adventure. We're going to do World of Color. We did the same thing, fast passes for the blue section. And somehow I was right behind this cute girl and her mom. And we just started talking, because the area that we were in, for some reason, it seemed like Japanese tourists that year. Oh. They were all their Nintendo DSs. And like, I knew enough Japanese to know that's what they were speaking. So the only people there that I can talk to were my friends who I was there with and these two. So we chatted the whole time, and it was like a good hour and a half of just talking before the show started. And luckily her mom decided to record the show on a digital camera that she had. So after the end of the show, I just was like, hey, I would love to have a copy of that video. And she knew what was up. So she's all like, yeah, my daughter's information.
I had no idea. So my mom was my total wingman.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So we
started chatting, and a week later we went on our first date
at Disneyland.
That's true. And here we are, coming up on 12 years later.
And a few years after that, he proposed in the same spot, New Year's Eve. And my family was there, and his family was there, and.
So
nobody
DCA and World of Color, very special to us.
Yes.
Would you like to take your anything back from last week?
For those of you who didn't catch last episode, they're referring to the fact that I said that I would not be upset if DCA disappeared. I just want to clarify.
You got to at least save that spot.
If it wasn't clear in the podcast, which obviously it wasn't, I wasn't saying to tear it down. I'm just saying if I went and it was gone, I would be very upset because Disneyland is where my heart is.
But
so
look how
I'm not saying level the place. Goodness.
I still think you need to rescind your comment.
He stands by what he says. Yeah. It's fine.
Okay.
I'm
allowing you to level everything except for the World of Color viewing area and Lagoon.
If people agreed with me, it wouldn't be a hot take. It has to be a hot take. That's all. True. You and your Animation Academy for everything.
Everyone. I don't know anybody that hates the Animation Academy.
I'm not saying everybody hates it. I just don't know if everybody's as excited about it as you are.
That's true.
It's
pretty magical in there.
I think that your Disney story was magical. You had individual stories that then combined for... I think that's really cool that it wasn't even like, I was with my group. You know, it was just... pure coincidence.
Now, there is a puzzle piece here that I got to ask about. So your mom knew what was up and gave your information. When did it dawn on you that that's what was up?
When she said, can you give him your information?
Oh.
Yeah. You're like, You know, because when you're with your parents, you know, you're not like, oh, they're cute.
Right.
You know, so...
I just love that. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I think that's cool. So I have to ask, did you actually want the video recording and did you receive it or was that totally just a line?
You know, I was curious enough. It was the first time they ever did it. So I was like, that'd be fun to have. I'd much rather talk to this girl some more.
I just actually want
But she had
number.
Some issues with the video, so I never actually got it, I don't think.
I gave it to you.
But it had like glitches and it didn't really work. Remember?
That was her ploy.
This was 12 years ago.
I don't know what happened.
But that was her ploy, because then she's like, maybe you have to come over and could look at it.
But I think that's probably true, actually. I think I did go there and look at the computer. I'm like, I don't know why it's doing that.
So
I think you may have broken it on purpose.
The plot thickens.
What's amazing, though, is how many of us can say that we have video of the night we met,
kidding.
Even though it's not like you weren't in it. But like you knew that it was all right there. Like that's pretty
cool. That's really cool. That's really, really cool. Yeah.
So that should be. Did that play at the wedding or anything? Like this is what did it?
No, we didn't have the.
We just had a slideshow. Yeah. We didn't stop for a video. We weren't those people.
That's fine. That's fine. Okay.
We kept it going.
Let's see how good you guys are with this one. So when you enter Disneyland on the first day of a visit, which way do you go? Do you go left towards Adventureland? Do you go straight through the castle towards Fantasyland? Do you go right towards Tomorrowland? What's kind of your first day game plan when you're going or when you go for one day?
Well, I don't think we actually have a game plan.
Well, we're longtime pass holders, so it's kind of a different world for us. Mm-hmm. Like we go to the parks usually with a reason.
An agenda in mind.
So we know where we're headed before we get there. It's not just for like the wandering through the park. It's like, hey, I'm going to go see the new thing. And it is in this direction.
Sure.
So we're going to head to wherever that is. If that isn't happening, it's just wherever the crowds seem like they aren't. So usually not Adventureland. Yeah.
Yeah. And every time we're at the parks, we're looking to make sure, spoiler alert, but the images that we have in our game packs are still there. So we're going all around the park anyway to make sure that everything is there. So
what a unique way to look at the park, because you're not, you know, yes, you're looking at it as a fan, but then also having to like almost replay, again, spoiler alert, the game that you guys created and make sure like I think my heart would drop if I walked in and something was gone and it was one of the clues. I'd be like, oh.
We'll get to that.
I'm sure that's happened. So we will definitely talk about that later. But that's an interesting way to do it. Hopefully one of these days I will get
it's
to that
changed
point.
For us too. Again, one of the things about changing stuff and stuff we were talking about on the Hub Crawl was the fact that, you know, for us, we do a podcast. So when we go to the park, we're kind of in that mentality of
I take a million pictures.
Not even just pictures, but I just mean like We're like trying to think of all these things, or I remember reading about that. Like it's not just like a It's hard to like shut that off and just enjoy the park for being the park and not have to like do any type of work with it. So
sometimes
I understand what you're saying.
Sometimes we're weird and find it enjoyable still, though, too. Like,
yeah,
oh,
no,
look,
I'm not saying I don't find
look
it enjoyable.
Look at those new light fixtures. Isn't that so cool? You know, whatever.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's part of the magic. But, but yeah, but I'm just saying, like, it's not some like you definitely when it becomes something that you do for a job or
passion,
passion that, you know, you look at it differently. So.
Well, speaking of, I would love to know what your favorite attractions are.
Yeah, we've thought about this.
It's a hard question, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, it's not fair.
I think our favorite attraction is Rise of the Resistance.
I mean, that's a good
one. It's working.
Like 100% working.
Yep.
It's kind of like your love for Indiana Jones. Like, you know, it's great when it's working.
Yep.
Lately, it's just kind of heartbreaking. Yeah.
There's a lot of about pieces. Indy. I used to be Indy's not definitely your favorite. It's one of my tops. But the last few times going on it, it's you're right. It's just kind of like, you don't. It doesn't feel as like I know the car is doing going through the same motions, but it doesn't somehow feel as thrilling or as exciting or as
because it's kind of a
definitely
shell
not
of what
climatic
it once was.
At the end.
Yeah, hopefully they put some love into it.
I mean, Rise would be the same thing if you go in there and you know stuff wasn't you know something was acting up with the space in the you know when you get off the transport or you know if Kylo Ren wasn't moving or something or certain effects like it takes you out of it and that's part of the problem. Mm-hmm.
But when it's working though, it's amazing. It's a full experience. Yeah. It just kind of blows everything else out of the water. But again, like, we love the classics, like Haunted Mansion, Pirates, Space Mountain, amazing, obviously. Mm-hmm. I mean, we love Racers, too, also when it's working.
That one needs some time.
Soarin' was always at the top of my list. I mean, Soarin' over California.
I was going to say, what do you think of World versus California?
That Eiffel Tower scene just blows my mind on why they let that slide every time. If you're not sitting in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm surprised that hasn't been updated because I could understand, you know, okay, maybe when they however long ago when they put that out, maybe the technology wasn't up to where it needed to be for them. But I feel like we probably have.
Yeah.
We're probably there and they probably could get that straightened out.
As weird as it sounds in the original, when it literally just cut from scene to scene.
Yeah.
It felt less noticeable to me than their like forced
the elephant blowing dirt in your face.
Yeah. Because then it's like, why you're like drawing attention to the fact that something is going to change. Where before it was just kind of like you're going and then you're like, oh, like
almost like you blinked.
And I think it doesn't work like that in a movie as well, but it works really well in an attraction like this, at least for me. So
I agree.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into the meat of things here. So you guys are from whereinthepark.com. What is Where in the Park?
Where in the Park is a, how do you want to call it? Like, it's a game that you take to the parks where it's a seek and find scavenger hunt game where the pack that you're buying is going to have cards inside of it. We have a few different options we have a few different parks.
It's easier to describe when it's in your hand.
I love it.
So these are like the size of like a trading card, like a baseball card or something.
The exact best part about this is it is not on your phone.
Yeah, that's true.
That's right.
That's what we're going
this.
For.
Yes.
Yes.
There's only one element that is required to have your phone, and I'll get to that in a second. But the majority of it is not on your phone, and that is what we wanted to focus on.
I love
it. Get off your phone, experience the park and all of the details that the Imagineers and the designers put into the theming of the park. That's what we're here to celebrate. So each pack comes with a series of cards. And then depending on which pack you have, we have a pack of 8 or a pack of 30. So the cards will have an image of the detail in the theming of the park. And then on the other side, we have a hint and an answer that you can scratch off if you need it.
Like a lotto ticket kind of a thing.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
And we provide you with a scratch off coin because some parks are cashless and we are in a coin shortage.
So
we provide you with that scratch off coin. But a lot of more experienced theme park goers don't like to scratch off the hint. It makes it more of a challenge if you don't. So
yeah, we had some passionate people who come back to us like, oh, we're still trying to find three cards from our pack. And we're like, how are you having trouble? We gave you the answer.
And they're like, no.
We refuse to scratch that off. Like, did the hint not help you?
I love that.
Like, we don't scratch off the hint either. I'm like, yeah. Well, okay.
And I love that because that makes us, you know, accessible for people of like whether this is your first time visiting or you're a seasoned pro, this is something that anybody and everybody can enjoy. So I'm thinking like when I go with my family, I could do it just by, you know, we could play this all together, but I could only maybe be looking at the hint, whereas family members that have gone, you know, less than a handful of times or they're younger, you know, you might need a little couple hints if you're younger too. They can go ahead and look at the hints and we can still all play together.
Yeah, I had my nieces play and they just immediately took the card and just scratched the hint off without even looking at the image.
They're like, is the game the scratching?
So they looked at the hint and they're like, oh, wait, I think I know where that is. Then they finally looked at the picture and like, let's go see what's over there. And then they bolted over there.
You know what?
And it was like, well, that's a good way for kids to play.
I just there's a second way you can play the game now. Just don't look at the image and just try and figure it out from the hint. Try and match the image before you see it.
But yeah, our hints, we think we're witty. Like, it's little plays on words. Some of them are kind of punny.
Yeah.
You kind of have to know the park a little bit or at least have a map and it can get you there with our hints. We italicize words that are more important than others. So we help you out.
There's hints within hints.
Exactly.
So where did the idea come from? What inspired you to kind of do this? When did this start?
Well, what happened is, I'm trying to think of the beginning of this. I remember we were dating for probably a few years and Amanda decided that she wanted to go on a scavenger hunt at Disneyland. So I actually made a little website that we later named micehunt.com where you can do a scavenger hunt on your phone. And it had a little generator in there so you didn't know what you were at.
Oh, wow. And yeah.
On a scavenger hunt. And she did it with her friends. And again, well, the problem with the scavenger hunt is if you create it, you can't go on it. So because I made it, I couldn't join in. I couldn't participate.
Sure.
So we found there's a Facebook group called Mouse for Life that Amanda and her mom were really into, and they were holding a yearly scavenger hunt, and we participated in every year that it existed up until 2020. I think that's actually the last year. It was early 2020, and we participated. I think I got the number wrong last time I was saying this, where we did 8 of them, but we won 6 of them.
Oh, wow.
5 years in a row.
The last 5 years in a row.
Yeah.
We were on the winning teams. And the things, in order to be that good at it, we were there at the parks like every weekend analyzing every last inch of the parks. So every interesting detail, like we knew where it was, you know. Of course, when we would get the stack of images, it would still be like, I know where probably 25% of these are, but I have a guess for the other 75%. And it was just the fun of like just going into the theming of the park and really getting to see everything. And I don't know, what's your opinion on it?
Yeah, exactly what he said. You know, the studying for those scavenger hunts really gave you a better appreciation of the park. Mm-hmm. And so we have millions of photos, you know, the smaller details that are often overlooked, but are right in your face. And we would send each other pictures of like super small things like pop quiz, where is this? And so that was our way of studying, quote unquote, for the scavenger hunt. And that was really fun for us. And what new things can we find the next time that we're there? And so because of COVID and the reservation system and everything, that Facebook group is not able to do those scavenger hunts in the same capacity.
Sure. Yeah.
So we decided to kind of pay it forward using a similar idea of the smaller details of the park, but make it so you can play it anytime you want. And you can go on your own schedule, stop and start whenever you like, play over multiple days, and still have that feeling that we had of, I've walked past this every single time. And I see it on the card and I don't know where it is. And that joy of going around the park and then you finally see it and you will never unsee it. And it's having that experience with your family and friends, or if you can play it by yourself if you want to. So it's been a lot of fun.
I think the idea is great. I think I think execution with it being on cards and being, you know, something physical that you're doing, and again, not relying on your phone, is also great. But the thing that I love the most about this is where in the park is like hidden Mickey's, but a different level, because it's hidden Mickey's, but it's like hidden Imagineer breadcrumbs almost, because it's all these details that all these people spent time on that, again, you know, most people don't notice. And even the times that we go, I'm a person that I just get so distracted and I love looking at all this stuff, and Tag's like way ahead of me because he's just wanting to get to the next thing. But we've now kind of not switched, but you've now kind of stopped and started figuring out what it is I'm looking at. And you're like, it's amazing when you stop and pay attention much it's almost overwhelming how many things you could be looking at or seeing or noticing. It's just wild.
Yeah, all the attention to theming is just insane in these parks.
Mm-hmm. It's something that we really take for granted.
I'm sure the Imagineers really appreciate what you're doing here, of like pointing out some of their details and things like that. So I see here, I went to your website and I clicked over and I was looking at what you have here. So each pack that you order, there's a bunch of different packs. We're talking, I'm just talking about Disneyland at the moment, but you've got packs for other parks as well. So you get 8 scavenger hunt cards. You got an instruction thing. You got the awesome pack that it all comes in, which is super neat. What's the there's a sticker in the mystery, like the prize inside, like what is that? I guess
the sticker.
Yeah, so it's a fun sticker. Yeah, so our fun packs. Yeah. our fun packs are the 8 card packs, and that comes with 1 prize sticker. Our larger complete packs have 30 cards and have 2 prize stickers. And those stickers are high quality vinyl stickers that are images that we've found throughout the park. So we've gone and taken that picture. Kevin's converted it to...
Yeah, some of them I rebuilt in Illustrator. Some of them I just had to touch up in Photoshop a little bit to get it looking like it's straight on and just perfect. So it's just like pulled straight from the theming of the parks.
That's cool.
That's what our stickers are.
That is cool.
So now I'm looking at this because if I'm a person that like I would get one of these and do it every time I went to the park if I could. So is there, because I'm looking at like the 8 packs, it looked like there was like different, you could do A, B, or C. So how many different sets are there? So if you're a crazy person like me and you just like want to keep going and doing this, how often do you come out with new packs? How many packs are there currently?
Well, we've only been doing this for a year and we've only really had these packs for less than that. I think we actually premiered them when we met you in May. That's like the first time with our actual packs.
That's awesome.
The months before that, we were creating more arts and crafts inspired by the parks that came with a card. Mm-hmm. And it was just people were like, I just want to go on the scavenger hunt with the card. So we're like, yeah, that's a really good idea. So
awesome.
We started making the packs. So for each of our theme parks, we currently have, we have 5 theme parks that we've created packs for right now. Only 4 of them are on our website. 1 of them is only on Etsy right now. That's not including one we have in a little theme park in Oregon called Enchanted Forest.
Oh, yeah.
Which you can only get at the park.
Enchanted Forest.
You can get it at the park?
Cool.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to have our packs for sale when you get to the door there.
Oh, that's
right,
so
at the
cool.
Ticket booth. But yeah, so for the other ones, we have 30 images for Disneyland, for California Adventure, for Knott's Berry Farm, and for Universal Studios in Hollywood. So it's 30 cards in the big pack. We're kind of phasing out the complete sets and changing to a challenge pack. So we're kind of altering things over here a little bit. So don't mind that. But so there's 30 cards in series 1. Mm-hmm. And the fun packs have 8 of those 30 cards. So if you get all 3 of the fun packs, you're going to get 24 of the cards. But if you get the big pack, you get all 30.
Gotcha.
So there's 6 like for some of the parks, we've been kind of changing our focus to make them where those are the harder cards. So that's really the challenge cards are those six cards. But yeah, so we're still kind of tinkering with the game over here. It's been a fun work in progress.
I was just thinking about, like, as you grow this, I was just thinking, like, it'd be cool to be able to, I know it's kind of like a scattering of different difficulty levels, but it'd be cool if you could be like if I wanted to be mean to Teresa, I could go and order like the super difficult pack and then give it to her.
Right.
That's really hard. And then she could be like, you don't look at the details. Here's the simple, like the top pack.
You get the kid pack.
The difficulty is subjective.
That's true.
That's true. Yeah.
So if you really know the park, all of them are going to be easy or not.
Yeah.
So we've learned. Yeah.
You know, there's people that have come to us and say, you know, we've been to the park hundreds of times. I still don't know where these are. And I'm not going to scratch off the hint. I'm not going to scratch off the answer. We're going to find them. And so it really depends.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it depends on the person, too, because you could give Tag and I the same card. And it's just like, what is it that you're looking at or paying attention to? You know, because some people,
I mean,
like,
we know that from trivia every week.
Oh, no.
Not always. But yeah, so, you know, and it just totally depends on the person, too. And even me, even though I sit there and look at stuff, I'm sure there's tons of things that I wasn't looking at and missing that someone else noticed.
Now, do you guys, when you're developing these, do one of you develop some and then hand it to the other one and say, Go see if you could figure these ones out? Or do you guys kind of collaborate on all of them and then it is what it is?
We just kind of collaborate on all of them. Again, the problem with scavenger hunt, right, is that as we have all the photos that we've taken side by side, we know where everything is. Like, nothing is the hard one to find for us because we were there taking the photos.
Sure.
So it's kind of tough for us. But we do pick out our favorites, essentially, put them into a folder on our computers. Then we kind of sort through those and be like, which ones are far enough apart that'd be out of pack? It's not just like, well, yeah, that one's right next to the other one.
Yeah.
So we try to spread it out amongst the park. And each of our fun packs, we went through and like had the map up and the pictures on the map to be like, make sure we're spread out for each of these. So you don't have the one pack that only goes to one side of the park. You're going to be spread out for all these to experience everything.
That could be future expansions. You're like, here's the Adventureland pack and here's the
It's more fun to go everywhere, though. That makes a whole day
but
experience.
But think about the, like, I'm thinking about the people like us that go way too often.
Oh, sure. Now, have you ever been looking through your photos you're like, where the heck did we take this one?
Yes.
All the time.
Yes, definitely.
Okay. All the time.
Okay, you were there, but sometimes you can't always remember exactly. Because I would imagine that when you come back from a scout of taking these photos, that I would hope that, because people forget things over time, that you label all of them or somehow document them. You got that look on your face of like, no.
We have them in folders by area.
Oh, okay.
By land.
By land. But other than that, not that granular. In September, we went to Disney World and Universal Studios Orlando and SeaWorld Orlando, as we're expanding to all those parks. Mm. And we took thousands and thousands of photos.
Yeah, we had a GoPro on us, though, like clipped to our backpack. So everywhere that we walked, there is a video for the most part. Every once in a while, GoPros would die on you, which is kind of annoying where you don't know it. It's like, how many steps did I take without it recording? But for a lot of it, I've been able to go back. Also, with Florida, you have Google Maps that kind of helps you out.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
The only problem is that all of those are from 2016 as you're doing the street view. So a lot of things that we have photos of, it's like, I think it was right there. Like, it's not there in 2016, but
right,
it'll kind of get you in the ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
Is there
different resources?
Is there something that you had in a card or that you wanted to put in a card that is gone now and you're like, dang it?
Yes. Yes. And so that is the only reason why you need your phone.
That's true. We help you out.
I'm glad that you brought that up. So at the front of every pack, there is a QR code and it says scan before playing. And that QR code will go to our website, a specific spot on our website. And if any of the cards in your hand are covered by a holiday decor or construction walls. Thank you, Toontown.
Yeah, we started those.
Oh, you're going to have to redo all of Toontown, aren't you? Oh, no.
Yeah.
We only had one in Toontown, luckily.
Yeah. But it was shortly after that that they announced that everything's going to go. But anyway, so we give you that QR code to give you a digital card replacement. So it'll have a hint. Cool. It'll have an answer that you can click on. But other than that, that is the only reason why. And that you need a phone. And once we see, or if it's reported that the holiday decor has been removed and that item is now there, we'll update our website.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we had one at Universal Studios where we thought it was great, but they used that area for the Halloween Horror Nights for one of their mazes. Mm-hmm. And we didn't think about it for a second. We just put it in the packs, and then all of a sudden it just disappeared for half the year. It's back now. I went there and checked, like, hey, we can take it off the website. I made a whole database, so it's all database driven. I just will click it off, so it's no longer active.
Nice.
So when it comes back next year, I can turn it right back on with our alternate card. And yeah, so awesome. Make it where you can keep playing.
That makes sense, because I was going to ask how do you build these decks, because right, things are always changing. So that's a cool way to kind of sidestep that. Because I'm like, I can't imagine they have here are all the cards and they have to keep them all sorted to make sure, like, oops, we put two of the same cards in the same pack, you know, or whatever.
Oh yeah, we tried doing mystery packs when we first started, where we would put random cards into like the 8-card pack, but then it was kind of annoying for people where it's like, if they wanted to buy 2 packs, we couldn't guarantee you had unique packs.
Sure. Yep.
So that's why we switched to the A, B, and C method.
Nope, that makes sense.
All of these things you got to think about when you're coming up with this stuff that you're like, that seems like a good idea. Then practical happens, and you're just like,
exactly. It's all been trial and error.
Yeah. Definitely. And feedback from everyone else.
That's amazing that you guys have really only been, you know, in this for, what'd you say, a year, less than a year, and that you already have how many parks? I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So that goes into it.
You can tell me, you don't have to tell me. How do you even make these? I don't understand how you make scratch cards.
I was wondering
with
that
these,
as well.
Like, cool sealed I'm sure the internet, because everything can be found on the internet, but
well,
how do you even
do that? We talked to designer Parko, and she talked about how she talked to Chinese, like, manufacturing places and stuff, and I'm like, I would never even think to do that.
No,
we didn't get that complicated.
No, Kevin creates them from Illustrator as far as the template that we have for the cards, and we print it on our home printer.
We have a laser printer.
Yeah, so this is on cardstock, and then we go through, we have the stickers for the scratch-off stickers. So those are manually added cut. So each page, actually, I have a sheet right here. It's a podcast.
Nobody can see it for the podcast.
That's okay. We're looking at the sheet. It's like a sheet of money. If you've ever seen money being printed like that.
Yeah. So there's 9 cards per sheet that we print front and back.
Yeah.
And then we cut each one using a paper cutter.
Yeah.
The covers are printed on our Canon printer here.
On photo paper.
And then we have a paper cutter for that. And we have backer labels that have on our...
Like on a thermal label printer you would use for printing out like shipping labels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So these are like made with all the love and all the blood.
Yeah, the scratcher coins have our logo on it, and that was done with our
laser engraved on there with a laser engraver.
Done in our garage.
Yeah.
Okay, so
this is getting better.
What I hear here, because I feel like this is a thing. So what I hear is that Kevin has all of the fun toys. And you're like, we have great, great uses for them now. And he gets
pretty
to have
much.
Some fun little toys. You but you're like, we're going to make money off of these. We're going to make this game with it. We can use the, you know what would be really cool is if we get a 3D printer next
they
to do
sound,
this thing.
They sound like me. You get
the
idea.
Don't get that going again.
Wow.
I still don't even know how a 3D printer works.
I
have not figured it out. No.
Wow. The thing that's so cool about that, and yes, I'm sure it's very time consuming and all that for you. But the thing that's so cool is then you can, I'm not saying you do this, maybe you don't do this, but you could do like if somebody approached you, you could do custom cards for people on certain mm-hmm. things. Or if something changes, then
it's easy to change.
You know, it's not like you have to contact.
Giant case of 10,000 cards behind
you're like,
you.
Oh, great. Thanks, Tuna. Oh, no. I only have 50,000 cards with that hint printed back here.
Wow. Yeah, we recently updated our Disneyland packs because we had a few, like we said, we had a Toontown card. Mm-hmm. And we were like, you know, let's just go ahead and fix some of these where we don't think they're going to be coming back anytime soon. Of course, one of them, as soon as we did that, it came back finally. But yeah, it is a little more flexible than it would be if we were mass producing these.
Mm-hmm. Now, the other thing, too, that our listeners don't know this. And so, like, they might know this, but I want to, like, share that we understand a little bit is Teresa and I have tried making our own merch for DL Weekly, and it is a pain in the butt. So the fact that you guys have this process that works so well and you've gotten such great results and they look amazing. I mean, mm-hmm. we'll have a link in the show notes, obviously, to your website so people can go look at these things. But this looks like I would never have guessed that you print this out at home. Like, literally, I would mm-mm. be like, they probably mastered this from some printer somewhere, and they must have cases of the things sitting around. So hats off to you for figuring out a great way to do this, because
thank you so much.
We had a Cricut because we were trying to do some like clothing, and that was
it was fine.
It was fine, but it was a lot more work than we expected.
It's one of those things that these things seem like they'd be pretty easy, pretty straightforward, but they never are.
I would even say I would even say to our listeners, it sounds like, oh, they're just printing it like whatever. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you, I'll bet you it's a lot harder than what you made it sound like.
Yes, it's a lot of work. I mean, if you figure that there's 9 of this same card per page and there's 30 cards.
Yeah.
So
that's labor intensive.
It is. And that's exactly why if you see on our website, if you're listening when this drops, that our website has bingo cards for the bigger packs. And we're phasing that out because it is so labor intensive. Mm-hmm. So we print that out and it's done on the Cricut. And there's 6 bingo cards, and there's 2 bingo cards per page. So it takes a while.
It takes about an hour per pack for the cards. And it's just we haven't gotten any feedback on anyone actually playing it. So,
well, now I need to buy one.
So it just seems
kind of
like, why are we doing it?
Well, no, I'm curious.
We have some.
Order now. You want bingo cards?
Limited edition.
Order now before it pays them out.
How do the bingo cards work?
Yeah, tell
now?
Us about the bingo cards.
You're spacing them out, but still.
Yeah. So each of the cards has a number. And so you get 6 bingo cards with our larger pack. And as you go around the park, you can punch out, they're already perforated on the bingo card. That's what the Cricut's for.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's for our complete packs. So both the fun packs and the complete packs, which will soon be our challenge packs. That is if you are either playing solo or playing in a small group that is going around the parks together. If you want to go and play separately into 2 different teams to see who knows the park better, get the competition pack. And the competition pack has the same 30 images, but they're on smaller cards. And there's no hint or answer on the card.
I feel like we need to buy one of these competition packs and go head to head.
I think so. You guys would be great for that.
So he knows the park the best. Yeah, definitely.
The hints and answers are in sealed envelopes.
So we still give them to you.
But there's no cheating.
Wow.
Can't scratch it off ahead of time.
I love this idea.
So you go around the park with your little pack of 30.
Two separate packs, yeah.
And yeah, there's 2 packs in each set, competition set.
Yeah.
Come on.
And then you can order more.
Yes. The one set would be good for 2 people, basically.
Or exactly. 2 teams. Right. Yeah.
Or 2 teams. And if you have more teams, we have that you can get additional add-on packs. Mm-hmm. And if you have a larger group, obviously you can message us and we'll work out a group deal. We also can do custom covers for any nonprofit events or
we created several packs for a Garner Holt event that happened a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. So we kind of tweaked the cover and had their logo on it and the event. And so it's easy when you're making it at home.
Yeah.
Okay.
You have to order.
That's amazing. That's so cool. For any weekly tier interested, Where in the Park is being super kind and super generous and offering a discount for all DL Weekly listeners. So if you would like to get your own Where in the Park scavenger hunt game, please use code DL Weekly when checking out for 10% off your order.
We had so much to talk about with Where in the Park that we will continue our discussion topic next week. So tune in for that.
Looks like we're coming in for a landing, gang. But please stay listening until trivia comes to a stop. And then yous can walk to the nearest exit. Thanks for listening to the 8th Wonder of the World, DL Weekly.
Welcome back to Trivia Land. I am excited to try that game at some point. That is right up my alley. But we got another game to talk about first. How do you feel like you're doing tonight?
I don't know. We will see.
Yeah, so. I'll take it. All right, that first question that I gave you was from listener Donna S. And what year was the debut of the Christmas Star on Top of the Matterhorn at Disneyland? And part two question, who directed it in place? Neither of you realized it was Saint Nick himself directing the star. And Tig, you are on the money. 1961, the first year that they placed it there. It ran for 12 years. Until 11 years. 1972.
Maybe I've got dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, and 1961 in my head, but nothing else apparently.
Yeah, the star was just too expensive to maintain after that, so they had to stop it. But there are some really cool pictures of it that you can find, including Santa directing the star in place.
I feel like they could put the star back now, and then they could do projection mapping and make the Matterhorn look like a giant Christmas tree if they wanted to. Oh,
there you go.
Great idea. So, Tega gave you a point. Teresa gave you half a point. Because you were 1 year off.
Ooh, well, thank you, James.
Wow. It is the season of giving. So,
I mean, you could just give us all the points and say we were right.
Just be happy with the half points you're getting
tonight. Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Second question from listener Stacia A. What is Oogie Boogie's spinning wheel called at the end of Haunted Mansion Holiday? It is Oogie's Holiday Tricks and Treats.
Look at that, Tag.
So Tag was definitely closer with making it plural and saying and. Teresa, you were close enough in the season of giving. I'll give you a half point as well, though.
He's real generous.
You don't give me half points. Wow.
It's the season
just
of giving.
Just wait. We have more stuff. No. There could be more half points to
so
be
did
given.
I get a point? Am I at 2 points?
You're at 2 points.
Ooh.
All right. Our third question. I'm going to give you an activity that characters are performing in the A Christmas Fantasy Parade, and you need to tell me who's doing it. And I gave you a little leeway for characters that were around. I'll tell you right off the bat, you both ended up with half point. Congratulations. Sorting letters to Santa. You both missed that it was Chip and Dale that are doing the
dang hard. It!
Mickey and Minnie are also heavily featured
I'm
in that.
Telling
float.
You,
not Don.
Listen to the gut, Teresa.
Number Why don't two, you listen to the
I
gut?
I don't know. I don't know.
Second one, bidding warm wishes from a faraway kingdom. That was indeed the cast of Frozen. Well done. Olaf's even up there doing it. The third one, making gingerbread treats. Well, Clarabelle is with the bakers, but she's not on the float. For that, you need to go and find Goofy and Pluto.
What? I thought they were making a gingerbread house.
Technically.
Oh, there she is.
But the big book in front says making gingerbread treats.
Oh.
I went with the book titles.
Oh, yeah.
See, treats. I thought they were...
So technically, it does seem like a house that they're putting together, maybe even for Pluto. Number four was attending a Christmas ball. I was just looking generically for princes and princesses because they are literally all out there. Okay, maybe not all of them, but you can find Tiana and Naveen, Cinderella's out there, Ariel's out there. You know, they're there. There are plenty of princes and princesses going to a ball as they do. Yeah, and that last one, making and wrapping toys, it is the characters of Toy Story, mostly the Green Army men that are doing the work.
Oh, yes.
I'm on board with that one.
Dang it, I need to gut again, because didn't I say something about the Green Army
you
men?
You did say something about the Green Army men. Oh, yeah, because here's the float we were talking about, where all the stuff's coming out.
Mm-hmm. It's a super neat
float. It's a great float.
And our final question, I asked, what songs make up Believe in Holiday Magic, other than the unique song Can You Remember? The 13 songs in order. Are the March of the Wooden Soldiers, Toyland, Toyland, I Have a Little Dreidel, 1 point.
We got one.
Not a point, but one right. All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth, on the board. I'll Be Home for Christmas, Oh Holy Night, We
did
Three
say, oh,
Kings.
Night?
You did say Oh Holy Night, but you did not say We Three Kings or Joy to the World, followed by Silent Night. On
yep,
your list.
We got that.
Carol of the Bells.
Got that, too.
Both your renditions seemed about right. There are two songs from the Nutcracker Suite, the Russian Dance and the Arabian Dance. And then it wraps up with the Christmas song. So no jingle bells in sight. But you were close enough that I gave you half points. So, Teresa, congratulations on the perfect half point round.
There we go.
I think this might be a first for Disneyland trivia history here. Gonna have to make a plaque or something for Trivia Land.
Plaque. There you go.
So, yeah. You like the season of giving, being nice with all these questions and everything for them?
I mean, I'd be happy to have full credit, but that's okay.
Says the guy that got two full points, apparently. Well, I at least got one more show with the season of giving, so we'll see what happens. But producer Vern and I love asking your trivia questions, and they help inspire us along the way, too. So send us an email with your ideas. Ours is trivia@dlweekly.net.
Well, we will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
Until then, go out and enjoy the parks.